It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Welcome to this week's edition of the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions Fried Chicken. I'm Baxter. Now all you students who are back in town, come by here every Tuesday night, do the trivia thing, try to win your $200.
Put your freshman 15 on. The right way.
Don't do it as telling like I did. Do it here. It'll be a lot more fun. You know, and I think at one point we were on the meal plan, off the meal plan. I think I had enough stored up to be good for good 40 years. I'm good. Thanks to 11 Live Sports for letting us be on their page. Thanks to 365 Game Day for sharing the video. Thanks to Athens Ford, home of the Lifetime Power Train.
Lifetime.
That lasts longer than your hair. Dan McDonald's on the show, our basketball superstar who's leaving.
How can we correct this?
That is a good thing. Pull a little closer, that should do it.
All right, yep. How's that? Folks out in TV land, let me know.
So we're trying to get, we've got Jake turned down a little bit because he laughs too loud. Thanks to everybody at Your Pie who's sponsoring the show. If you are hungry at any time of day, there's 41, 42 locations of the Your Pie franchise. Go in, order a custom-made pizza. You'll have it to your table in about 7 minutes or 8 minutes. It's fantastic. I absolutely love it. So,
sorry, I'm trying to fix this mic issue. All right, yeah. All right. Oh, good. It's Paul Mary says it's just when I laugh, so that seems fine. I'm not worried about that.
All right, thanks everybody. Keep leaks. Okay. Real quickly, jumping into the content, the kind of breaking news that we had right before we did the show. For everybody that was watching on Facebook, they noticed that we got the show started late. At 9 o'clock, we normally try to get off about 8:40, but at 8:30, Georgia picked up a Rivals 100 wide receiver. If you saw the little gifts.
Yes.
How do you want to call it?
It's a gift.
The little clips that I sent out. It's Elijah Moore, St.
Thomas Aquinas.
Thank you.
Yeah. Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
I didn't want to get it wrong. Nothing good's ever come out of Fort Lauderdale. As Dave McMahon, our statistician, starts chucking things at me. But this guy's a Rivals 100 wide receiver. Not a big guy.
Not at all. Not a big guy at all.
5'10".
We got him at 5'10", and I think we might be being a little too
generous. Anyway, so basically, yeah, so it's flop. But still a huge commit for Georgia. We saw the clips that he has. He's just making people miss left and right. Georgia needs that kind of playmaker. Last year, all the wide receivers they brought in were 6'5", 6'3", 6'2".
Sure.
I think the smallest guy they brought in was 6'1", maybe?
I believe that's correct. So, Trayvon, I believe. He's on the 6'1", 6'2" cut.
Well, that's why I'm saying, because I know that he could also flip around and be a cornerback too.
The smallest guys they've got really running in that rotation that you feel like can make an impact: Terry Godwin, Mecole Hardman, and now Akil Crumpton, I guess.
Yeah.
And Akil was brought in with the return specialist in mind, so
right.
You don't know exactly.
So Mecole could be out in that slot, so could Terry. But we noticed that Terry wasn't running in the slot in practice. You know, he was running in one of the other slots.
Yeah, he's been running outside a little bit.
Yeah, so they bring in a guy like him, and I think it's a big hit for Georgia. My question for you, before we get into all the questions, and everybody who's watching at UGASports.com, what does this mean for Kyrus Jackson?
You know, that's an interesting question.
Well, tell everybody who he is first.
Well, Kyrus Jackson, if you don't know, committing on Saturday, Rivals 250 player, four-star out of the city of Fort Valley, Georgia, plays his ball at Peach County High School, where they will knock the hell out of you, as Kirby Smart said. Those guys, I think Peach County, always great when you can pull somebody from there for that reason. Kyrus, a special athlete, does it all.
Well, I mean,
track
like,
guy,
Rick,
shot
McGee
put
came
guy.
Out of there, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyrus, a wide receiver, a guy who, he won, for God's sakes, he won the shot put in 3A as a wide receiver against mostly linemen, clearly, up against
that
him.
Guys like me, you pick up a shot and just kind of hurl it out there, you know, like it's a stone.
Like a donut.
Yeah. Well, no, we don't throw it.
But
like a chunk of broccoli.
You wonder how it's gonna factor in with Moore, and it's a good question because they are not totally similar in build, but you know, Kyrus is not the biggest guy in the world, so he's probably
strong and thick.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely is. But he's probably projected to end up in that slot position.
Yeah, no, actually, so I did the story on him just last week. He actually said that Tiger, he told him, "Hey, the spot up here, the slot is wide open."
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's what I think we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, now you get this commitment in, does that change things up? I really don't think so, because I think that Kyrus is a guy that you can end up using down the line like they use Terry Godwin, the way you just spoke about him. Yeah, he's primarily thought of as a slot guy, sure, but his ability to go down the field and play on the outside is pretty key, I think. I think it's a situation with him where he's going to be able to find that versatility and find himself both in and outside. He's a very different...
Is this where they both two slot guys?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. And part of the reason...
I mean, I was saying that they would. I mean, you want Kyrus Jackson.
No doubt.
You want Elijah Moore. It's just they brought in, you know, four big wide receivers before, and now all of a sudden it's a little bit... It just seems that you might go one guy, but
no, I think two is totally appropriate because you know, one of the reasons being, I think that Kyrus can play that outside role. He's not just a slot guy. He is a kind of you know, jack of all trades when it comes to the wide receiver position. Yes, he's not the biggest guy on earth. I totally understand that, but he does not lack in talent to go out there and. Hell, I'll tell you this. I've seen him go up against much bigger defensive backs, wrestle that ball away. He's strong as an ox.
Well,
and so in the jump ball situation, he's fine.
Some questions coming in right off the bat from Brett Tucker says, when was Trey Hill?
Boy, that's a great question.
Trey Hill, number two.
Who is Roddy, bald guy? That's what
I'm You're bald guy. Yeah. Trey Hill has really been one of the more questionable guys in that regard. He hasn't really delivered a timeline, hasn't really said anything like that. My personal feeling, and this is just gut, no inside information on this, I think he takes a visit and makes an announcement soon after that. I think that, and it wouldn't even surprise me if while he was on campus. I do still like Georgia's chances there, and I think that it's a possibility that he could do that on a visit to Athens. But, you know, he hasn't given us any timeline, and so until he does, it's a little hard. We're just speculating.
So, you answered the Trey Hill question. They can pick up Kyrus Jackson maybe this Saturday. On Thursday, is it?
Yes.
There's another announcement coming. Kind of break that down for everybody.
Okay, so on Thursday, you got a 4-star committing. Believe he's Rivals 250 guy. I'll have to double check that, but he's definitely a 4-star. I know that. Aziz Ojulari, a guy who.
No, we can't have guys with weird names.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, right. You want to talk about one of the more meteoric rises, though, that we've seen recently in recruiting history? I think Aziz is a guy who pops out to me. A guy who was virtually unknown until earlier this year, you know, I mean, at least wasn't getting the traction that he's getting now. And now you've got, it looks like finalists including Tennessee, Clemson, Florida, Georgia's going to be in there. We'll definitely be there on the ground to cover it. But Aziz is a guy who sort of plays that slash position that's become the big money maker in college football. So he's a guy who does the, you know, he can get down. He's big enough to play that defensive end spot and rush from there. He can stand up and play outside linebacker. That's not going to be an issue for him either. Overall, I think that it's a guy who – any team is going to benefit from landing because of that versatility. He's a guy they just don't make enough of, if you know what I mean.
So, Jake, I watched him on Friday night. Is Georgia technically a 3-4 outside linebacker? Kind of
yeah, you know, I think it's kind of, he's like I said, he's that slash. He's the guy, it depends on how his body develops with his knees. I think that's going to be the key thing. It's going to be pretty interesting to see, does he... You know, where does he end up on, I guess, on the field?
I guess he could be a pass rusher, like, the core lineman, you know, there's a thinking situation. He could be the pass rusher and defensive end in the thinking situation. 4-3, 4-7, he'd be the outside something.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's a guy who could play, you know, a role, I think, similar to what we've seen.
Like Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd, you know, Lorenzo Carter, David Bellamy. He's a guy who has those kind of chops, I think.
Well, that also comes up, Pete Ellis says, what about receiving another 2019 conversion in the next few days? So, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities there. We had a story just earlier this morning about Trayvon Walker,
yep.
You know, 2019 guy. There was supposed to be a trio.
Yeah.
So Rylan said he's not deciding anytime soon, but...
So no, you interviewed him.
Right after. You remember you asked me, hey, let's check in with Ryland. And Ryland's been a player, right? And I don't blame him. Like, you know, he's saying, you know, I'm probably going to take my time to sign next spring. But I mean, we looked up, and you know, by the weekend, he's already there. I'm talking about what's going
on. Yeah, sure, absolutely. And, you know, I think that the situation exists where, luckily for Georgia, you know, 2019 in-state loaded, huge class. And 18, not as strong in state, in my opinion. You know, I think that that's kind of positions all over the field. But, you know, you've got guys, when you've got a defensive a lineman like Trayvon Walker, you got a tight end like Rylan, you got a couple of wide receivers like Jaden and Dominic Blaylock, you got some linebackers like a Bertrand. You know, that's the makings of something very, very special.
Give me the numbers here. Georgia now has 10 2018 commits as of tonight.
Yes.
2 days they could have 11.
Yeah. And then 2 more days they could have 12.
How many 2019 commits are there? Because I keep thinking there's only like 4, but then I look back and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's...
I think I want to say 6 right now. You got Luke Griffin. Luke Griffin. The two receivers. Yeah, exactly. Nolan Smith. You've got
Nolan Smith putting that in quotation.
Hey, you take them where you can get them, man. If the kid doesn't say it, then you count him. You know what I'm saying? Bertrand. So yeah, I think we're right around at 5 or 6.
For one thing, if you get say Trayvon Walker or there's a kid out of Grayson and the linebacker,
Kevin Harris.
Maybe that's another guy.
Yeah, sure.
Ryland.
Ryland's a guy that you're looking at.
So you get two of those guys. You're
Rashad Channing. That's who we're leaving out. Yeah. And, you know, that's a guy, too, who, I mean, I know people are worried about this defensive line recruiting class in 2018, and there's good reason to be. The depth is not there. However, some really studly players already committed to you and some guys to look at.
You know what's interesting, though, in the 2019 class, obviously, things get away during the hopes of 2018, it's not an issue, but all the quarterbacks in 17 and 18 in Georgia, they're not really one in 19 that's like super high and high rated guy.
That's true.
Now,
that's true.
It's Justin Fields, don't matter, because then you have 3 straight 5 stars.
I will redirect you in one way. There is one guy that I look at early on and I say he can be the guy for the state next year. And I think that's Knox Tatum. He's the quarterback at Rome High School.
Okay.
He is a 2019 kid who I watched him in state championship last year and I was very, very impressed with what I saw from him.
Okay.
And would not be surprised if he ends up being the guy in Georgia for that class.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, right now, Jake Fromm, Davis Mills,
sure.
Bailey Hoffman,
sure.
All those guys, and then Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Emory Jones, all those guys, and then even in 2020 behind those guys, you got a few more coming up.
You got
Bryce Johnson's son, Max Johnson, you got T. Webb, you got Harrison Bailey, stud. So you got those three, and I'm sure there's others, and there's been only sophomores, but Georgia's becoming a quarterback capital.
Yeah, and then of course everybody's watching Sean Watch, Georgia's Jake Fromm's kind of a five-star last year, so all of a sudden, hey, everybody in the country, if you need quarterbacks, come to the Peach team.
Yeah, it's 5 years.
Unbelievable this
year.
But to Chris's point, where are all the defensive linemen?
Yeah.
They're just not here this year.
Jump back to my quick, but I was wondering about your one, because Chris Burrell had a good point. He said, you know, defensive linemen this year. Georgia seems, you know, as slow as the recruiting was for the class of 2018, and now we kind of see it picking up, you know, with maybe 3 commits in 1 week. And now you're starting to get into the 12, 13, 14, you know, 15 commits. And it's going to be a small class.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking maybe 20.
Yeah, 21 maybe.
Right.
With
so,
some attrition, so, like,
yeah.
Hey,
so let's
why don't
say
you look at Western Carolina.
Right. So let's say at the end of the week you have 12 commits, and then hopefully you get a Justin Fields, and then you get a Jamari Sawyer, and then you get a Trey Hill. Well, the guys that kind of hold spots.
Tyreek Johnson. Yeah, absolutely.
Who's the kid that was committed to Florida State, that big defensive end, that you got some
Coyote Owanele.
Yeah.
Coyote,
say
I'm sorry. Coyote Owanele.
I just come up with names that I know. But, you know, certain guys like that, some of these, you got to kind of hold them spots.
Sure.
I think you're kind of holding maybe like five spots.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden you're at 12 commits. You see what I'm saying? That's getting really tight. So all of a sudden the class can come together really quickly. And, yeah, after starting out real slow. In the 2019 class, you already got maybe about this week, seven commits. And then you got Ryland could be an eight at any time.
Yeah.
You know? In other words, I'm thinking just as Georgia's about to start dealing with the early signing period.
Yeah.
He's going to have his class done
yep.
by the 2018 signing.
Now, here's the thing, though. I mean,
yeah,
that's... Exactly. That's all well and good, and you could, yeah, you could
but
have...
But you would have killed for these commits.
Oh, no doubt.
This time last year.
No doubt. No doubt. However, I don't know. I don't know that you would have. You had a pretty good class at this time last year. Heading into the season...
Well, so let's say 4 months ago when you're...
Oh, yeah. No, 4 months ago.
I'm sitting with two commits and three decommits.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's all going to come down to, and I know people have heard this, but I cannot stress enough, the entirety of Georgia recruiting this year trickles down to the result of this season, period.
No,
end of story. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If this team comes out and goes, 7-5,
that's a problem.
That's a huge problem.
Well, 7-5, you're worried about a lot more than just recruiting than that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, an 8-4 is not going
to. 8-4 is not going to do it. I don't know that. I don't know.
I don't know if they're not getting to Atlanta.
Exactly.
No, you have 9-3, but you play Atlanta.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're in that SEC title game.
9-3, and looking at losses to, say, Florida, Auburn, Tennessee.
You're not in there.
You know, but not only are you not in Atlanta, but now your fan base is like, is Kirby Smart going to be named as big rivals?
Right.
You know, let's say you lose to
Notre Dame,
Auburn in the West.
And Georgia Tech or something.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then you win the East, you go and you play Atlanta. At that point, I think, okay, you've seen a market improvement from last year to this year.
That is a...
And that's acceptable.
That is. Let me tell you. You backed yourself into acceptability at that point. That is like.
Hey, that's how I got married, man. it's like, hey, this is the best you're gonna do. A good question popped up for you, Dan. And Dan, like I said, this is our basketball expert. He's going on.
We are gonna talk some basketball.
He's going to bigger, better things. But came up. Who are your favorite guys in this 2018 class? Because look. Here's the thing, yes, Dan is known as a basketball guru. He's taken the basketball job. He's on the Georgia basketball beat for the last 10 years.
Almost 8 years, exactly. 8 years later than we did.
So, 8, 10, close enough. You've interviewed almost everybody in this 2018 class that you've looked at. Give me maybe your top three. What are your top three favorite guys? The top three guys you think are most important for Georgia Atlanta.
It's almost the same answer. Actually, I got this.
Well, hey, that's fine.
When I was leaving the other day, I posted a little thread on there. I was like, hey, anybody ask me any question, you don't answer. This question actually came up. So I think if they can get a class where they need a point guard or a wing, they'll do it. And if Will Richardson can get a point guard, he's a 4-star combo guard from down in Savannah. Actually, simply to take a crazy card. And that relationship, though, let's keep talking about. But they get Will Richardson from down there, Kayvon Morse from Macon, another say guy.
Kayvon Morse.
Big man. Yeah, well, so he was a 5-star for a while, and then he didn't have a great spring, so we dropped him on 50 something. I'd be surprised if he did.
Yeah,
he had a great July, so I'm just sure he'll move back up a little bit. So he's probably been at Georgia's campus a dozen times. You know? So
I've
done a dozen stories. I'm coming to Georgia.
I think he started counting them up.
Yeah.
It was well into the double digits. So.
Exactly. So you know they've done a great job with him, but Florida and Alabama, and they're both really interesting. So I think of those two, and then last month, actually, Kelly Kirk has been there, Monzi, whatever it is. He's a heck of a prospect. That'll probably be the top of the next time around. and he got one from Georgia, Clemson, Tennessee, and a few others in the Southeast. I think it, those three guys, that'd be three top 100 guys, probably two four-stars and a three-star, all from your state. And I've always thought that Georgia basketball, Metro Atlanta probably would be so accessible to some of the schools, where Georgia usually dominated these guys like Davis Collins, Wonders. You know, outside of Metro Atlanta, Hustle and Bustle, you know, a guy like Tyree Crump, Jordan Harris, down in the Bainbridge area, you know,
I'm going to say, it wasn't exactly a derogatory description of where I was, but it was not a polite one.
You know, exactly the day they committed.
I had to call this athletic director, who was also a good and
that was when we were a rival, right? We were not on the same team at that point.
Yes.
And so, you were trying to get me to help you out. I'm like,
yeah,
Roddy,
you come on, hit me up. So, I worked at ESPN, and his athletic director just raved about it. It was a really small school. You know, his like senior class man had 30 kids. And the guy raved about it. And I'm like, and he said, look, I sound like a proud dad. We're a small school, and everyone's going to think that, you know, it's the biggest thing that comes from our school. And he said, those are points. The basket is the same height off the ground. The 3-point line is the same throughout everywhere. And here's what he's averaging, you know, against, you know, this competition. But he says, when he plays on his.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, so he's dominating against the competition you're supposed to. You know, anyway, but, you know, we can talk about JJ all day. Point being, there's a guy out there in the Peach State that, you know, all the other coaches aren't coming through in a fight.
Yeah.
The Georgia staff is doing that. And they have.
And they've done a better job. And, you know, it's not something they can control. You know, some years, all the good players are going to be in Metro Atlanta. You know, it's easy to fly in a Hartsfield Jackson Airport and get to Norcross or Wheeler or Miller Grove or Westlake.
I can see 14 schools in 2 days.
Exactly. It's a little bit harder now when you got to drive down to Macon. I mean, it's not a terrible drive, but it's not easy. You know, driving down to Richardson and Savannah and all those guys, that's not easy either. So I think they've got to make sure they do a great job protecting that area. And if we're not hearing the truth, they've got to do it. I don't know if I'd call them a leader for all three of those guys right this minute, but I think they're in a great spot to make all three of those guys.
Give me real quick. Your two top three targets for the pick. What do you think
that is? The first one's easy, Justin Fields.
Okay.
Gotta have him. Gotta have the guts in there.
Oh, God.
I know you'd say that because, remember, this guy knows Justin Fields. Of all the analysts out here to do what we do, this guy knows very well coached him. And really in basketball. So if he can't hit a free throw, it's your fault.
You know what? It's funny you say that, Roddy. That kid, I swear to you, and this is why I think he's going to make a heck of a quarterback. If we were in a game, it's fourth quarter, and it's within, let's say, 8-10 points, I bet you if you went back and tracked it, he did not miss one single clutch free throw. Kid's got ice water in his hands. Like, he is clutch, calm, like, it's almost like Justin, hey, we're here, like, I'm just so calm, like, you can't rattle me.
Justin Fields, basketball, translating to football talk, you're only going to get that here at UGA Sports Live.
But here's the thing. Every time I went to a 7-on-7, Corky Kell like 4 years ago, you know, everywhere I went, if Harrison was in it, I'd get a text from him, hey, get a shot at my boys. Because it was Justin who I was.
Justin Steven Peterson. Yep. He was the most under-recruited receiver in the nation.
So he was nonstop, hey, get a shot at my guys. Get a shot at my guys. Get a shot at my guys. Hey, how are my guys looking? I mean, he just never could. And I shouldn't almost say I dismissed it, but I'm
you
like...
You did. At the underclassmen rival challenge, you would not take a picture of Justin.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't sell this man out like that. We need a story, man.
I shot everybody. But, yeah, well, of course, right there, standing in front of me were Trevor. And even Bailey was there. So Trevor and Emma were killing it, and then Justin popped up, and he was wearing clothes. So I could clean up clips of him.
I feel like we had him in our top performance here, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably me as the completely unbiased.
Yeah, exactly. So the point being, it was so insistent, you know, he kept talking about him, and I'm like, how much do you knowing that he coached the kid in eighth grade and his friends with him,
yeah.
How much would he say, hey, he's looking really good. Do you believe that? You know?
Sure.
Because, like, there are kids on at Athens Christian that I'm a big fan of because I've watched these kids grow up.
Sure.
You know? So if I talk about Richard Jippy, I'm like, hey, Ronnie's a big fan of him because he loves the kid, you know? So, in other words, sometimes when you're friends with a kid and you know him really well.
Oh, yeah, you're just rooting for it.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to, you want to see him do well.
For him, but the best part of it is Dan was objective. He said, this kid's really good. And right now, he's the number one rated dual threat quarterback in the country. George is dying to get him. All our questions are about him. So where's he going? No, you're on the spot. Hey, you don't work here anymore.
Yeah.
Ooh. If you want that last check to come through, you better answer.
I sat on the board probably since he beat you. Whoever wants to call me out on it, go ahead and do it. Yes, I once did say Justin would never beat you. I was wrong. I'll own that. Okay? But let's be real here.
But you also told us he was going to deacon him before anybody even thought of it.
I did, Roddy. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Let's be fair.
When right after he decommitted, we see all sorts of different sites, you know, saying Florida State, Auburn, Florida. And I'm telling you guys, I don't know if I said the message before, but I told you guys in the group chat, kids in Georgia in the great spot. And I got texts from people pretty close to him saying that. I'll stand by that. So to answer your question, I think as of today, I would say I feel pretty confident.
Okay, because here's what, for the inside baseball, because people want to go and know what really happened. We were told, you know, that when Justin committed to Penn State, it looked like it was.
Yeah.
And people said, oh, he's going to commit for as long as it lasts. You were talking to him. You were talking to his dad. You were talking to his family. You were talking to everybody. And they're like, no, he loves James Franklin. There will not be a team that
100% did. I think the thing that did it, if you really want to get down to it, it was the distance.
I agree.
And now you look at this, the four schools, I guess Florida's out. The other schools involved are the closest schools to where he lives. I don't think that's coincidence.
I completely agree.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence wouldn't go to Clemson. Clemson might even
be in right.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no doubt.
Be in the mix.
No question.
Point being, before it even became a rumor, you came and told us the kid's going to decommit from Penn State and probably going to come to Georgia. Or Georgia being in it very tightly. I think we were like, no, we can't put that in a war room. Well, you can, because I mean, you're getting that from his family, and again, that's a situation where you're really close,
sure,
too close. And sure enough, we kind of warned everybody that, hey, it's not exactly rocky, but this is not as tight in the Penn State as we originally thought.
Yeah,
he decommits. You're like, hey, it's going to be, you know, look at Georgia. And sure enough, we have the 5-star challenge, and he's talking to Georgia, and they pop into it. And I'll say you've been money, so I'm not trying to build you up. I'm saying that you're close to him. So when you say you still think it's Georgia, I'm not going to put money on it,
yeah,
but that means a lot because you know him probably better than anybody else. So
I sit in the room every day. He's committing Saturday. He's committing next Thursday. He's committing.
Oh, he's committing Saturday.
God, stop.
In the vault, and it's like that. It's rumors all the time. And you know what? Honestly, I think if you ask Justin right now, when are you going to commit? I don't think he can give you a straight answer because I think what he wants to do.
Well, like, first off, he would not give you a straight answer.
No, he would not give you. But now, if you.
But really, if you really were able to peg him down on it, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think he knows.
I think he's waiting until he's 110% sure because he doesn't want to be defending the game. And part of it, maybe he wants to watch a few games in the college season. See, okay, how did Georgia fare when they got to their game this year? What kind of stuff are they doing? Now, I know he's a completely different quarterback than Jacob Eason, so you're not going to see Jacob Eason the same thing as Justin the quarterback. But maybe he wants to see, you know, just whatever, I don't know.
Well,
he wants to watch Florida State. Maybe they pull him stuff with DeAndre Francois.
Yeah, and I think that you make a great point there. I think that part of why, if he ends up going into the season, I think part of the reason will be, you know, are these schools as committed to these offensive plans as they've told me? And, you know, that's something that we've talked to Justin several times about, is this idea of, do you think George is really going to this run-pass option in earnest, or is this just some ploy to land you and then figure it out? I think he may want to test the waters.
It's going to be hard for them to really prove, because if you tell Justin, hey, you know, when you get here, you know, maybe we'll throw some zone reading, maybe we'll put you on the run or RPO action, whatever. He didn't do that with Jacob Eason. That's not playing Jacob Eason with strengths.
I
agree.
They showed that to him in spring practice.
Yeah. I mean,
but again, was that, you know, I won't say was that a dog and pony show.
Yeah.
But because I really think they are going to do that one. But if he watches the App State game And on the third series, all of a sudden, you see Terry Godwin in there. Or who was the other guy we saw recently? Nicole Harmon. Jumping back there, running a little wild dog or Tommy dog, if you want to call it.
Somebody put Trey Blunt or Trey Bishop back there. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there.
So all of a sudden, you see some of those guys out there, then maybe you're. It makes it more real for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did some of that stuff last year, so they can
go back and
sure.
Oh, yeah, when we talked to him up in Indianapolis, he said, look, there's two five-stars ahead of me. He goes, we can do it right. And it wasn't like he wasn't
nervous
about them. So he wasn't intimidated by that.
The facts are the
facts. So I agree with you, Dan.
And he's confident, he's not confident.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. If he believes that Georgia is going to change the offense to match his skill set, because that's what Cam Newton was telling him, his mentor, play an offense that work. That you will get a lot of action in. Play at a high level. Cam said, look, you need to be in a, you need to be in a BCS. You need to show, because you're talking about shooting free throws and having that eyes wide. What really gets you that good contract and takes it to a great contract, to a phenomenal contract, to being the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, is can you do it for them? There are a lot of guys who can win you a football game. But when, I don't know, you have points.
I'm
just
come
saying,
on, man.
There are still people in the state recovering from that.
Damn.
I'm just saying, when you...
I come here to get away from these
look
things.
Look at the guy who was down 25 points.
Sure.
And said, oh, screw this. Oh, this ain't happening.
Yeah.
Look at Cam Newton. Cam's down in the game. You see him?
Now,
you
Alabama
right?
Auburn game down 4 nothing.
Put it on my back.
Yeah, he wants
that pressure.
Yeah, but that's what gets you those crazy contracts and all the endorsements. And you can't share that if you're playing in the Liberty Bowl.
You're right.
Am I right?
You're so right.
But you need to be, if you're in a playoff game, in other words, Deshaun Watson, I guarantee you moved way up everybody's draft charts.
Based on what he did.
He said, okay, how much time was left against Alabama? Under 2 minutes?
Like, yeah, it was.
Right down the field. Here's your winning touchdown. We're done.
Yeah.
He walks off the field a champion, giving Clemson the first championship in 20 years.
Yeah, mic drop.
Yeah. So there you go. He's like, look, I'm done. And now all of a sudden that changes your combine.
Yeah.
That changes all your interviews. So you've been on the biggest stage available to you as a college football player, and you didn't. But you got to do it. So, I mean, it's a good thing for him.
With Georgia, I mean, obviously it's a different coach, but, the last 15 or how many years, when Georgia's had a good quarterback, they've always generally gone to pretty good points. Except for, like, when Murray's a freshman, they go to, Memphis, Or, even Stafford was a freshman, it was a Peach Bowl. But when they had a good upperclassman quarterback, it generally may not always be a BCS bowl, but it's a pretty respectable, years in, year day bowl. I think the interview with the five-star talent where Justin Zell, the last guy to win SEC championship
was
quarterback in Georgia, DJ Shockwell.
Yeah.
He plays
a heck of a lot like Justin. So,
and he called it right up. So he's telling me back sales point from Georgia, and it's like I have to mention to him. He already knows.
Oh,
that, So again, he's not intimidated by what's here in Athens. He wants to come in. I know we're kind of getting a lot of the fields talk, but that's we had a story today at UGA Sports about 15 different commits. I mean, it's going to be recruits from the Peach State. Guys who have been to camp with him. Guys who have played in 7-7s against him. Guys that played with him on 7-7s. And they were all asked where he's going. And some of them, I think, were giving a little bit of misinformation. Some of them were giving their true thoughts.
Yep.
And it was still mixed. There was a lot of Georgia. There was a lot of FSU. With a little bit of Auburn kicked in there.
Sure.
And I think what they're saying reflects what a lot of people... Right now, the Georgia insiders believe he's going to Georgia. Florida State insiders believe he's going to Florida State. And the Auburn people are saying, hey, don't cut us out.
I
wouldn't even cut out Alabama.
I'm going to tell you this, and I say this as one of these people. I don't think that there's a talking head in this game that I trust with the opinion on where he's going to go right now.
Well, you know why? Why I agree with you? He's smarter than all of us.
He's gamed a bunch of,
he's like,
of adults.
You guys, screw this.
Part of the deal with Justin is too, and I think part of the reason for you just mentioned is, I don't think Justin's out here like trying to like...
I don't think he's throwing misdirections intentional.
He's not trying to stump everybody. I think he's a genuinely nice kid, and he has great interactions with people, and I think he can talk to Jimbo Fisher, and Jimbo Fisher's like, oh man, you got this. And then Gus Malzahn making the same thing. And Kirby Smart might do the same thing. Like, he's a nice kid. He can talk to you and have a nice conversation. It might be like, you probably get the kid excited, and he might say some things that, you know, make you think that maybe you're a little further along the line than you are. But like I said, I just think at the end of the day, there's a lot of things that are important to enjoy. And that's why, as I said, I really enjoy it.
So, Dan McDonald, on his last day at UGA Sports, is guaranteeing Justin Fields is coming to Georgia.
And if it doesn't happen, this is why we. If it doesn't happen, that's why we fired him.
Yeah.
fired him.
Yeah, if it doesn't happen, if he goes to Florida State, that is why he no longer.
So that's my resume in the future. So maybe how Justin Fields.
Yes.
Goes,
yes. Don't call Roddy for a reference if Justin Fields goes elsewhere.
Good to know. Good to know where I stand, you guys.
Let's shift gears here. We talked a lot about that. Let's get into some of these questions.
All right,
But before we do that, again, I want to shout out to the champions for letting us come in here. They feed us. They take care of us. They let us destroy their place. Thanks to Athens Ford for being the sponsor. Thanks to Europe for being the sponsor. Cable East, 365 Game Day. Go get all your gear for 365 Game Day. It's, 19 days? About 18 days until kickoff?
I don't even know. I'm lost in the maze.
So go get all your stuff for 365 Game Day. And of course, thanks to Live Sports. Speaking of all the folks that are watching it on the 11 Live Sports on the Facebook page, they've got some questions. Can you hit us up with a few?
Sure, absolutely. One of the questions we got here, Brian Murphy says, after Kirby's comments, do you see any freshman DBs get any playing time this year?
Ooh. Yeah, if somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, sure.
He made a good point the other day. You saw them pick up, 7 defensive back commits in this last class.
Yeah.
Kirby said, look, we've got their upperclassmen. You've got Dominic Sanders, Aaron Davis, a couple seniors, Malcolm Parrish, DeAndre Baker, juniors now at this point. And then you got a bunch of freshmen. There's nobody in between.
Yeah, you got no meat in the sandwich.
I mean,
you got two pieces of bread.
Yeah, you got Rashad Roundtree kind of bouncing around in there.
Yeah.
Jarvis Wilson, some other guys who can step in. But Tariq McGee.
Yeah.
So, again, but it's not a huge part of it. But just imagine one of those guys goes down. I mean, right now, we saw in the spring, they were working D'Angelo Gibbs at the starting star position. So
yeah, and they've continued to do so. And I think that, he's got – personally, I think he's got the potential to do it. I mean, if he's called on, I think that he's a guy who can do it. Now, my pick to be there right now is probably Aaron Davis. I think that his experience and his smarts around the game, I think, will probably lead to him finding that spot. But then you got a safety spot open. So, okay, who comes in with Dominic Sanders now all of a sudden? Well, that's an interesting question.
We've seen Jarvis Wilson playing there a lot.
Jarvis Wilson's in there. You got Richard LeCount kind of sniffing for some playing time. D'Angelo's a guy who could fit in there. Yeah, exactly. There's no guy like right in the middle. Jarvis Wilson, even though he's a third year safety at this point, the guy's not got a lot of playing time under his belt. It's not like they've trusted
him.
It's like
the offensive line, all
exactly.
Third and third year guys and guys who are redshirt sophomores who played 20
snaps.
Yep. Blowout game. So, or again, someone gets injured, then all bets are off.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
And if I'm scouting Georgia right now, I'm thinking, hey, that wide receiver, you need to go tag Dominic Sanders every time you can.
Yeah.
When you're blocking him, you block the hell out of him. And if he all of a sudden trips and falls,
sure.
Because this stuff happens all the time, then who's their backup?
Well, if it's me, if I'm doing it the same way, I'm taking the biggest guy I got and I'm throwing him against Malcolm Parrish. And I'm saying, throw him around.
Yep.
Take what take your penalty, whatever. Just try to knock, because, Malcolm, God bless him, fantastic player, excellent tackler, great leader for the team.
7 inches.
Exactly. Exactly. He could be at that kind of height disadvantage.
Yeah.
And that translates to physicality. I mean, whether or not we want it to, it's the difference between throwing out a 5'9" defensive end against Isaiah Wilson. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's going to just pick that guy up and throw him because he's able to.
There are a lot of 6'5" wide receivers out there. He's 5'10". He could be given up 7 inches to a guy who's got longer arms, and that guy's going to come off the line to quote unquote block him, and he's going to be jabbing him. neck and all stuff. And Malcolm's going to go right at him like a rabid dog because he is tough as nuts.
I was going to say,
you're not going to back down.
The thing about him is, if you do that,
Malcolm might get thrown out for excessive roughness.
If you're going to do that, you better kill him. You better, because he is going
to. He's got some of that South Georgia dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely a dog, for sure.
I've seen that 6'5 wide receiver after him say, knock the chip off his shoulder.
It better not be like a Flint Gibson kind of 6'5 receiver.
There's some Marlon Brown.
It's
got
to be Marlon Brown.
Yeah. All right. We got a great question here, totally deviating from our defensive back thing. Brian Deal asks, and I think this is a really cool question. First kickoff returner we send out. Who's going to be the guy? You think so?
It should be Mikko.
Mikko makes plays, man.
Mikko, I'm with you. I understand why. I'm gonna go with the freshman. I'm gonna take DeAndre Swift. I think that's a special kid to put back. Hey, if I don't recall,
sounds to me like we need a bet here.
If I remember correctly, it was a game against Buffalo. That a young freshman running back took a kickoff, an opening kickoff back all the way, and started off a pretty good career for himself. So I don't write off DeAndre Swift. I think he's a guy who can make that kind
of pass. And I also remember countless kickoffs where somebody caught it at the two, stepped back into the end zone, down it on the 1 yard line. I noticed guys who. Decide to run it, 7 yards deep out of the back of the end zone after hesitating and get tackled on the 5 yard line. Georgia's special teams issues. I mean, that's the first thing Kirby Smart mentioned when ball camp started. Well, I mean, in his opening press conference, opening sentence was, "We've got to fix special teams."
Yeah.
I just don't see him starting a freshman. I don't even see him starting Akil Crumpton, who we know looks to be a great returner. We're hearing good things about him. We've heard great things about DeAndre Swift. I get it. But I'm thinking right now, this is a guy who all last year stuck with Reggie Davis for most of the
turns.
And I know it drove some people crazy, but Reggie was pretty sure-handed. And he didn't drop a whole lot of them.
This is a good returner.
Exactly. that's what I meant. And, hopefully he gets on with the Falcons, and good luck to you, Reggie.
Yeah, we'll be happy for you.
It's all about ball security.
I understand that.
So
point.
I can see
I think,
why you're like, you've given Mikko a lot more chances to do stuff on the offense.
But if you're going from that standpoint, then I imagine that it would be a toss up between him and maybe even Terry Godwin. And I understand why you would want to keep Terry out of that role because he looks like he's going to be playing a key role in the receiving game this year.
That's fine.
But if you. If you really want to put that kind of emphasis on it, Terry is a guy that we are consistently hearing Jim Chaney and Kirby Smart saying this guy's having a totally different camp than he had last year.
He looks a little bulked up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still proud of you. People are.
But I'm with you there. Terry Godwin, and this is his junior year.
Yeah.
I know for a fact he wanted to play 3 years. He wants to have a big year. He's probably chomping at the bit. Let me return. Let me show you what I can do. He's watching Isaiah McKenzie, who's already in the NFL, left early, a year early, partly due to academics, but a guy who leaves early decides, hey, I think I can make it, and sure enough, was named their starting returner.
Yeah, without much hesitation.
Well, I think it was a fifth round draft
pick. Yeah, something like that. But a lot of times, those fifth and sixth receiver spots in the NFL, if you're not a specialty guy, thank you.
Right.
Well, that's my point.
You're a fifth and sixth receiver, you better play special teams.
Right, exactly. So he's like, even at worst case scenario, if he leaves at the end of that year, doesn't go play baseball or something like that, he decides, okay, I'm going to leave at the end of this year. I may not be, first or second round wide receiver. Now, damn sure a third round wide receiver because of my special team stuff. So, I could definitely see Terry Godwin coming on saying, look, you can chance. I put on this weight, I put on this stuff. I'm willing to risk my body to go do it because he could be thinking of this year and next year. Georgia's the best wide receiver ever. I get that. But I can definitely see a situation where Terry Godwin's pushing for it. But I'm with you. I'd go Mikko Hardman. Mikko,
is there any talk about Sonny Michel?
He's returned.
Sure. And
anything about
him? I also love him as a gunner on the punt team.
That's what I was about to say. I remember that Clemson game, his first game, when he, I think it was two straight times on a punt return and then maybe a kick return.
Yeah.
Really, he's on the
his
outside.
First punt return, he came down and he dropped the guy. Caught it, took one step, and Sony took his leg off.
And that's why Sony, just with his versatility, he'll be able to play NFL for a long time because guys will go back and look at that.
Well, and that's what we pointed out recently when we had the open brackets. We watched all the different, they were trying all these different combinations of Gunner.
Yeah.
And you saw, we've seen Nick Chubb do this. But I'm like, you know, you've got a huge, lot of guys in the backfield. Let Sony do it. Sony wants to.
The problem there is, somebody
and from a strict versatility standpoint, no question.
A go-to back, but he must be a go-to receiver.
Absolutely.
And
there's no doubt.
He's a little bit like Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
Not quite as electric, but...
I would agree. And listen, I'll tell you what. You mentioned,
that'd be a good ball security guy, too. Put Sonny back there.
Yeah.
Oh.
You mentioned Akil Crumpton, though, and his role and you know, him being a new arrival. I asked Kirby this question today, and I was actually really impressed with the answer. I said, we've heard a lot about this kid as a kick returner. we've heard a lot about, hey, we got to take him where we can get him. I've heard a lot about him as a returner, both kick and punt. But when we're out there at practice, I see Akil Crumpton making some great catches, looking like he's a sure-handed guy. And we talked about that today, and it went in with your point, man. I think that, you know, this is a kid who is not just he's not just a specialist. I think he's a guy who's going to be able to contribute in that receiving game as well. So really looking forward to seeing what that kid's going to be able to offer on all facets of the ball.
And David Hohenschelt says, over or under on the sack total for Mr. Thompson?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Five and a half.
There you go. That's a good number, I think.
He isn't even the tackle. They don't generally get some sacks.
Well, yep. George did get a lot of sacks last year, but I think it was always Mykel Carter, David Marshall,
yep.
Atkins.
You got to think the Reggie Carter and Devin Bell.
They should, exactly. We talked about, you know, maybe Lorenzo in the last week's show said maybe he gets 10.
Yeah.
That would be good. And that's basically one game.
That would be good. That would be great.
Yeah, again,
that would be real good for his draft stock.
But I'm saying, yeah. If, you know, you got maybe 14 games.
Sure.
You know, ideally 14, 16, you know, games. You know, you play a lot more. The point being, if just in the regular season, SEC championship game, at least one ball game, 14 opportunities, if he gets 10 sacks, that's less than one game.
All right, so Dan says 5.5 for the over-under on Trent Thompson.
I'm going to say less.
I'm going to take the under on that as well. However, I will say I think you will see a large number of quarterback pressures from him. I don't know that he'll necessarily get to the quarterback, but I think he'll rush plays and get in there and be disruptive.
He's the kind of guy...
I see my Trevor, so...
I think if Trent Thompson, he could have a heck of a season and end up with 3 sacks.
Yeah, but,
because
that would probably mean that
Reggie Carter and Davin Bell and the other guys, because he's like, you know, he's the focus of everybody that Jordan plays. He's going to be the guy.
Exactly. That was the point I was trying to make when I said, look, it's the other guys that were getting sacks.
Yeah.
Because everybody was keying in on Trent. So what you're going to see is the same thing. Go back to David Pollock's first year when Gerald Anderson was on the other side. Everybody was keying on Gerald.
Yeah.
And it freed David up to just destroy everybody.
Sure.
Then the next year, everybody was keying on David. Another guy would come in and get sacks. So if you're looking at Georgia's defense right now, you're thinking, you know, Lorenzo Carter, David Bell, they're not scaring me. You know, they're good, but they haven't shown their elite yet. You know, they haven't been like some of the Alabama and Missouri defensive ends who just absolutely destroyed everybody. I think between my right tackle and my left tackle and a tight end, maybe, you know, give a little chuck and you know, chip by the tailback, I can control those guys. But I'm damn sure going to put two bodies or 1.5 body on Trent Thompson. So it's the other guys. If you're going to get it, like you said, that's why I'm going to get a whole lot of sacks.
Watch out for John Ledbetter.
I was going to say John Ledbetter, Julian Rochester, those guys coming through, Brayton Marshall, Mykel Carter, any of those guys. And all of a sudden, like, wow, these guys get a lot of sacks. Well, Trent didn't have one. Yeah, because Trent was triple teamed all week.
Yeah, right.
I mean, so, to your point, it might be a situation where he doesn't put up the numbers and people want to see 7 sacks from him. I can see him only walk away with 3.
Yeah.
But he took up 2 blockers on almost every play. He had to be accounted for nonstop. So, that's, and of course, the NFL sees that and his draft stock goes through the roof. But, so it's tough to put a number on that.
Kendall Williams, really good question here. Biggest freshman impact, offense and defense?
Offense, I'm going Andrew Thomas. I think he might start.
It's looking that way, isn't it? He is.
You told us. I doubted you. But Andrew Thomas is the 6'6", 305 pounds.
Mm-hmm. He is.
I mean, prototypical.
And a lot of people got caught up in the 5-star hype with Isaiah Wilson, and I get that, and I think that Isaiah Wilson has a very productive future ahead of him. The difference was, and I've told a lot of people this, and I've really always felt this way. The difference between Thomas and Wilson is technique versus raw strength. Isaiah Wilson is a freak and will grab you and throw you to the side. That doesn't always work in the SEC. Exactly. That doesn't always work in the SEC. However, Andrew Thomas can get out there and he can dance with you. He can move those feet. He can hit you with those hands, and he's got that technique down soundly. I think that's what's going to put him very close to the front. Go. All right. I like
because
it.
Because inevitably, inevitably is going to be a game where each other's under shells and bang up.
No, that's true. It happened every year.
You can never have enough running backs. And from what I've seen, what you guys have done with the team setup, it sounds like he's going to be the third back.
Yeah.
Ahead of Brian Heary and ahead of.
I think he's got a chance, certainly.
Okay.
He's got a lot of the part of the protection. He's got on the ball.
Yeah. But just strictly raw ability, man. That dude, you go back and watch him, his highlights.
Yes. Yeah, he can ball.
So I can definitely see that. But again, the reason I don't mention him is because you've got two very good backs ahead of him who, hopefully they stay healthy. You've got those great tight ends
who you want to try to get
some good wide receivers. So
it's hard to measure what an offensive tackle is versus what a running back.
Sure.
Well, that is true.
Well, realistically, I think if Andrew Thomas were able to come in and start 6 games, you'd have to count him, I think, as the guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I will say, just to go off of both of what you said, I love both of those picks. I think both of those guys. The guy I'm going to go with, I think, is Mark Webb. I think Mark Webb is a guy.
Mark Webb is running with the 5th string wide receivers right now.
Hey, pal, listen. Hey, pal.
Don't get wrong, man. No. Mark had a great scrimmage. People were talking about him after the scrimmage.
I was talking about this last night with someone, and I think that in this freshman receiver group, Georgia has a star. I think that there is a guy who's going to emerge from this Jeremiah Holland, Trey Blunt, Matt Landers, Mark Webb group, and really become that guy that they've been looking for a while. Mark Webb is the closest to being on the field, in my opinion, because of how refined he is in his route running. He's such a clean guy when it comes to his hands. Yeah, he's worked his body into such great shape. So Mark Webb is a guy I could see making some key catches for Georgia.
I think so.
Yeah.
Defensively.
Oh boy.
We'll look at where Georgia needs help. Do they need it on the offensive defensive line?
No.
I think they're fine there. Do they need it in the linebacker?
Definitely
court?
Not.
No. Do they need it in the secondary?
Not really. I guess comparatively.
Well,
but
they've got to replace the star. They've got to replace Maurice Smith.
Sure.
So all of a sudden you're taking one of your 4 starters and moving him over, or you're replacing him in that spot there. Maybe it's Tariq McGee moves up. Right now I'm thinking it might be D'Angelo Gibbs.
Okay, great pick. Fair pick. Dan?
I just love to get someone. I hope he does well. I'm going to go with him.
Okay, yeah, they're completely understandable.
There's some kids are ridiculous talented, and obviously a lot of kids are. There's some kids that just
I'm going to go with, and it's not strictly based on how he's going to play on defense, because I don't know that we'll see him a lot there, but I think you're going to see some big plays from Nate McBride on the special teams. I think that he is going to be a banshee tearing down that field.
He's very likely going to be the fastest guy. And I don't mean that.
He and DeAndre Walker, I think, are going to race. I think it's going to be.
DeAndre will be watching back. Don't get me wrong, I love DeAndre Walker. I mean, that's not a shot against him. Y'all know how much of a big fan of DeAndre. Loved him. But when it comes to just pure inline speed, straight ahead, hey, you don't have to go side to side, Nate. Just run fast. Nate's going to take off like a firecracker down the field. He's going to hit whatever source. Now, DeAndre will probably be the more effective of the two.
I agree.
I mean, he's been doing it longer. Yeah, I mean, he's a special teams demon. Plus, he's trying to show, hey, Coach, I'm as good as Lorenzo. I'm as good as that. Put me in.
Another name I will say don't write off, Monty Rice, a guy who came in as an early enrollee, and I think a guy who could find himself. You know, I mean, you've got
realistically a three deep at that inside linebacker position with Nate Trez, Roquan Smith, and Reggie Carter. To me, he's that fourth guy that I could see rotating in pretty easily.
You kind of want to see, you know, Juwan Taylor step up and be that guy.
Sure.
You want to see Jaleel Williams, you know, make that jump. You always kind of hate it when somebody comes in and jumps ahead of somebody. But ideally, you know, if you recruit really well, that doesn't happen.
Well, not if you recruit well
each year.
Yeah.
But you never say, hey, well, it's his turn. We're not going to let the better buy him.
And to me, it's
Curtis Hart brought in was to probably defense talent.
I agree 100%. So, I'm just saying that if they got recruited over, it's over.
Yeah.
I'm saying in a perfect world, that doesn't happen.
Yes, yeah.
But in the real world, that's a very good possibility because we've heard great things about him.
Well, and
that's not to say we haven't heard good things about Juwan Taylor.
If you're going to platoon Nate Trez and Roquan out at the same time, let's say, and you're going to put Reggie in there, Reggie to me has a much more similar skill set to what Nate Trez has. And Monty has, I've mentioned several times, the Roquan Smith-esque qualities. He's a sideline-to-sideline guy. He's got that kind of quicks. He can move that well. So, you know, you're able to recreate a lot of that.
Let's go with something real quick. Michael Trotter says, so you're taking Webb over Holland?
I am going to, initially. I think Webb is the more polished of the two. I don't know that who's going to have the better career. I think Holloman is the better athlete, personally. But I do think Webb is the better receiver today.
I'll take him today simply because we saw right now Holloman's still injured.
Yep.
And we saw it was a mild injury that set back Charlie Warner last year.
Yep.
And it had a big effect.
Linger.
Any updates on McBride? Is he redshirt?
Nah.
Brian Murphy, thanks for the question. I don't see McBride because he's got to play special teams in weeks. Christopher White says, does Raquan have the Reuben Foster kind of year?
I think that's completely possible. I think that the way that he plays the game, the compliments Kirby's lauded on him, and having worked with Reuben Foster, sure, I think it's very possible.
I just hope he doesn't hit me.
He's having a whole lot of head injuries.
Some self-preservation.
Yeah, a little more self-preservation than Christopher White. The red zone defense going to be better this year? Ask Carter Justice. Carter, the red zone defense could not get any worse.
I told it for my friends as soon as Georgia Tech got in the red zone last year.
Teams are scoring in Georgia 90% of the time. They got in the red zone. Yeah. 75% of the time of that 90.
Nice. All right, let's take one more before we wrap things up here. Chris White says, are we going to focus more on the tight ends this year? I think so. I think that Kirby mentioned today, actually, in his press conference, he said, you know, Isaac Nauta has grown up in a sense that he is playing a more physical style on that line. He's learning the blocking progressions. He even complimented him and said, this kid's always been a great runner. He's always been a guy who can catch great hands. But he's learning that physicality. He complimented Charlie Warner. He also threw in the fact, he said, look, Jackson Harris is not ceding the spot to anybody and says,
thank you.
This kid, he was like, this kid is not ready for these young guys to come in and take his spot over. So
no,
Jackson's a guy to watch
too. We had Josh Tanner on the show last week. He's like, when Jackson Harris is your fourth best tight end.
That's true.
Tight end.
And I think about it. We actually saw a couple plays last year where they had three tight ends on the field.
Sure.
They went two on the ends, and they had an H-back in there. Granted, it's been short yard stuff. I'm like, how easy is it to line up that way? Let the defense get set, but all of a sudden, they're with Isaac outs. Charlie steps up to the line. You can still run it. Talk about that RPO. Yeah.
Nightmare scenario.
I'm like, and don't get me wrong, I like Georgia's wide receiver options. You know, Riley Ridley, Javon Wims, Terry Galvin. But just as much, we saw Jeff Blaze eventually come in and start as a freshman. He's got great hands. Isaac Nauta can catch anything. Jackson Harris has great hands. He can catch. You know, hey, even Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
Comparatively, fifth year senior, give Jordan Davis a shot. You know.
Yeah. Comparatively, the tight end right now is a stronger part of the roster than the receivers. So
no doubt.
So to answer the question, I honestly believe you could have a tight end as your leading wide receiver. I'm just saying. You start throwing to Isaac, and everyone thinks, oh, well, it's a tight end pass. What's that, Roman? 17 yards?
Sure. And then they underrate
those
Isaac
six
Nada.
17-yard catches, that's
but,
100 yards.
And then they see why Isaac Nada was rated a 5-star.
Right. So you're like, okay, we're going to give him a 10-yard route. He gets 7 yards after the catch to the tight end before we drag him down. You're not dragging down Jackson Harris. You're not dragging down Isaac Nada. And Charlie Warner is going to knock you on your ass and try with him.
Charlie Warner is going to assault your whole family.
He's not. He's part of that makes him hurt. So anyway, to answer your question, I would be quite fine if your first and second leading receivers were tight ends.
Sure.
And then you saw Riley Ridley, Javon Wims,
Terry Godwin.
But then Terry Godwin has 164 all-purpose yards.
Yeah.
All
right.
Get the ball on tight end on that jet sweep they do.
Sure.
That Isaiah McKenzie ran.
Sure.
Hey, Jason Stanley, Terry Godwin, y'all want to run? Go nuts. All right, anyway, that's the end of the show, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks to Champion for having us. Thanks to EuroPie for sponsoring us. Thanks to Athens Sport for sponsoring us and Cable East. Please stop by 365 Game Day and get all your gear, all your Georgia gear. You can get it for a bunch of different schools. If you have friends that are Auburn fans or Tech fans or Tennessee fans, you get a bunch of different gear there. I know they have a bunch of different schools.
Shout out to Dan also.
No, we're not going to see
you. I'm shouting out Dan.
And thanks to Dan McDonald. 8 years of impeccable service, working with him, working against him. No one liked him. He will still be with Rivals. He will still be covering recruiting at the national level.
We'll see him a lot.
We'll still be grabbing his stories and sticking them on the site. So be sure to follow him on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Dean McDonald Rivals.
I believe he does.
I was actually trying to play with him James today. I think it's poor social media marketing.
Dean McDonald
Rivals.
How did he get a job? He didn't know it was on Twitter.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is awesome.
Thanks for coming on. Anyway, please be sure to hit the like button on this 11 Alive Sports page, and be sure to tune in next week. Here's a big secret we're about to drop next Tuesday. Sitting in hopefully this chair right here. Jim Donovan.
Boom!
Oh. Dropping bombs.
Jim Donovan.
He's coming back.
His show was one of the best we've ever had. Jim Donovan should be here next week, hopefully.
Gilardos.
Gilardos. So be sure to tune in next week to the show, Tuesday at 8:40. And hope, and that would be fine if we have to push the show back because there's another commitment.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And come out beforehand, play trivia with me. I'm hosting next week.
Hey, is that the last?
No.
Okay. Come out for the last trivia contest of the month. There's a $200 prize.
All right.
Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in.
Find us on Google Play and iTunes.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.